We left off last week, we were discussing who was obligated in tzitzis and who was not. So we said that since we paskin that Laila's loves man tzitzis, so therefore tzitzis is categorized as a mitzvah sasesh, as man grama, and therefore we paskin halach that women are pturos, and we recommend women shouldn't even volunteer to wear tzitzis. We spoke about the reason for that the last week. Who else is obligated? Who else is potter from tzitzis? So what's the status of a katan, somebody under the age of bar mitzvah? They're required to wear tzitzis. So the Gemara tells us this is the same as all other mitzvahs. So min haTorah, obviously a katan is not obligated in any mitzvahs, but there is a principle of chinuch. So a katan is chayav midrabanan mishum chinuch. At what age does the child become obligated? What age does chinuch kick in? So the Gemara tells us in Masechet Sukkah that different mitzvahs have a different share of chinuch. So some mitzvahs are more complicated than others. So the Gemara says, let's say you have a mitzvah of lulav. So at what age does the child become obligated in the mitzvah of lulav? So when he's old enough to know how to be menaneh, he's old enough to know that you shake a lulav, you don't hit your brother with a lulav over the head. So my kids, first they shake, then they hit each other. So then the mitzvah of lulav kicks in. Let's say the mitzvah of sukkah. At what age is the child old enough to be chayv in the mitzvah of sukkah? So the Gemara says, once he's old enough to sleep by himself. I mean, some children, when they wake up in the middle of the night and they come running for their mother, they won't go back to sleep by themselves. So that's not chayv in sukkah. Hashem came when the child's old enough. So then itach is mechuyev in the mitzvah of sukkah. When we say that a child is mechuyev b'shem chinuch in the mitzvah of sukkah, that means mamash like the grown up. The same way whatever the adult male does for the mitzvah, that's what the child under bar mitzvah is supposed to do as well. So as we've spoken in the past about the mitzvah of yeshiva basukah, that includes sleeping in the sukkah also. Sometimes it's too cold. Sometimes the standards for cold, maybe for children, are a little bit lower than for grown-ups. Maybe they're more susceptible to getting sick. But if it's not very warm outside, or if it's in the daytime, when we've said in the past, shiurim, that under no circumstances can a person take a nap out of the sukkah in the daytime, unless it's mamish freezing outside, or unless it's so hot, or unless there's so much noise in the sukkah you can't sleep because everyone's chatting away after the meal. But if it's not mitztayer, so then your mamash mechuyev to sleep in the sukkah, and your children are also, the boys are also mechuyev to sleep in the sukkah, if it's not a question of chol or mitztayer, etc. So whenever we speak about chinuch, so we take it with all the utmost seriousness. So too, when it comes to the mitzvah of tzitzis, the Gemara says that once the child knows how to dress himself, that's considered to be the shiur for the mitzvah of, for the din of chinuch when it comes to a child. What's considered to be knowing how to dress themselves? So if you would have asked me, I would have said that he knows how to put on a shirt, knows how to tie shoes, he knows how to get dressed to go to school. So that's considered to be the age of chinuch. How old is that? You know, depends on the kid. No? How old do you know when you knew how to dress yourself? Five, I don't know, four.
Five or so.
Five or so, good, okay. So so approximately that age, that's considered to be
that's
the age of
picking out clothes.
Picking out clothes. I'm 43 already. I have trouble with my major wardrobe.
But you couldn't say you pick out clothes.
I hope so.
If you are you it isn't by yourself, you pick your own clothes out.
Okay, I'll take that as a compliment. So anyway, we'll move on to more...
Is that part of the process?
I don't think so.
Or is it just putting all the clothes that are there?
Right. So it's a very brisk hakira, but we'll stick to the general program. So the Ramah adds on something to this. The Ramah says that it's not enough to know how to get dressed. The Ramah says that he has to know how to wear tzitzis in the proper way. What does it mean in the proper way? So he has to know how to keep two parts of the beged in front of him, two parts behind him. We spoke about this a little bit in the past, that the correct way to wear tzitzis is that two strings are supposed to be in two sets, are supposed to be in front, two sets are supposed to be in back. So he knows how to wear the tzitzis in the most appropriate way. Then is he considered to be chayiv in the mitzvah of tzitzis. It's interesting, we have this idea by chinuch, that Chazal seem to give the shiur of chinuch, not so much as to how old the child is to fulfill the basic fulfillment of the mitzvah, but the child really has to be old enough to do the mitzvah mamash b'shlemusa in the most fullest sense of the word. The Moshe, going back to lulav, the mitzvah d'oraisa of lulav is not to shake the lulav. The mitzvah d'oraisa is just to pick up the lulav. The na'nuim or midrabanan, they're hiddur, whatever they are, they're an extension of the mitzvah. But the basic mitzvah is fulfilled with just picking it up. A 2-year-old could also knows how to pick up a lulav. It's not such complicated to pick up a lulav in an eserek. But yet, when Chazal would convey the age of chinuch, they would convey it that we want the child to do the mitzvah right. We don't want him to start to train the child at the age of 3 and 4 to do the mitzvah in a not complete manner. So they held off on the mitzvah of chinuch until the child's old enough to really know how to do it b'shlemusa. So that's what the Ramah seems to be saying by tzitzis also, that the basic mitzvah, to know how to get dressed, so you, maybe by the time you're 4, you know how to get dressed, but to know how to wear the tzitzis in the proper way, 2 in front, 2 in back, be careful how to do it, also not so complicated. So we wait a couple of months, wait a couple of years until the child knows how to do a mamash kedasu chedin. That's when the din of chinuch kicks in. So the ma'is at that age, that's when chinuch begins. So it's interesting. We spoke when we learned tochas tefillin, so we spoke about chinuch by tefillin also. That same sugyan sukkah has a shear of chinuch for tefillin. That tefillin, once the child's old enough to know how to toot the tefillin b'kedusha, he knows you don't go into the bathroom with tefillin, etc. So then the child is obligated in tefillin. So the Gemara gives two shiurim, the shiur for tzitzis and the shiur for tefillin. So lemaisa today, we keep neither of those two shiurim. The shiur of tefillin we don't really follow anymore because, as we said in Uchus Tefillin, we try we're very careful not to put on tefillin unless you have mamish mechuyiv min haTorah to put on tefillin. So that's where we shy away from the 8-9-year-old boys putting on tefillin. We wait till the mamish right before bar mitzvah. And the din of tzitzis, so we mock them. We put tzitzis on our kids way before they know how to dress themselves. Usually the minhag is the kid's 3 years old. If you make an upsharon, even if you don't make an upsharon, usually by the time the kid is three, approximately three, he's a toilet train, whatever, but, he's all ready to go. So then we put tzitzis on him, even though Medina de Gemara is not chayiv in tzitzis. Medina de Gemara, the three-year-old, probably cannot dress himself, so there probably is no mitzvah of chinuch for him. But nevertheless, the minhag Yisrael has become to put it on a little bit early. So we lose a little bit of chinuch by tefillin, but we gain a little bit, a couple extra years by tzitzis. That's what a minhag is. When we speak about children being chayiv in tzitzis, what are the standards of tzitzis that they have to have? So the tzitzis have to be kosher. It doesn't mean the poskim say they have to be the size that a girl would wear. It means a size according to the machmir of 26 inches. The whole kid is not 26 inches. So it has to be a beggar that would approximately correspond ratio-wise to the size of the cotton like his father's wearing. But the strings themselves have to be careful. Sometimes this is the problem. Sometimes people, you know, on the kid's tzitzis, so the tzitzis become puzzle, kids get ripped, and nobody bothers to fix them. So that's a problem because if the child, the same as an adult, if the child wasn't wearing the beged in the first place, so it wouldn't be so terrible, so you're not wearing tzitzis, big deal. But once you put the beged on, the four-corner beged on, then you become a chuyav in tzitzis, then you have to make sure the tzitzis are kosher. Yeah, they don't have to be the mahadrim and the mahadrim to get tzitzis, but they should be kosher. So every once in a while, if you see that your kid's tzitzis are getting ripped up a little bit, so you change them. Usually the kid grows anyway, so you have to buy a new pair of tzitzis soon. But why don't you try to be careful that the basic standards of kosher of the strings is met when it comes to a child's tzitzis as well. There is a minhag that already earlier poskim quote appears in the Maril and others about that a person doesn't wear a talis gadol even forget about when he's a child. He doesn't even wear a talis gadol even after bar mitzvah. He doesn't wear a talis gadol until he gets married. Where in the world did this minhag come from? That a person doesn't wear a talis gadol until he gets married. I think the Maril himself didn't follow this. The Yekis didn't follow this, but an earlier poskim quote such a minhag. So where did this come from? Where's the source for this? So they quote a pasuk in Chumash. What's that pasuk in Chumash? The pasuk is, it says, "Gedilim tasa lechal arba kanfas k'suscha shetachaseba." Pasuk in Pashkei says, and the very next pasuk is, "Kiikach yishisha." It's a smichas pesukim that only someone who's married wears a talis. So this wasn't meant to be taken seriously. The Acharonim weren't in the business of dashing psukim. We don't have a right as man as they just stamp to make up drushas on our own. So nobody ever meant this with any amount of seriousness. But this was a remez that they found to this minhag. Where does the minhag really come from? What's the real source for this idea of not wearing a talis gadol until after getting married? So pashas, it's based on the Gemara Maseches Kedushin. The Gemara tells a story about one of the Amoraim who was not married. And how did they know that he wasn't married? Because the Bashiva who saw him said, "Oh, he doesn't have his head covered. He's not doing a tifa. He's not wearing his atifa or something." So they said, "Oh, it must be a sign that he's single." Then the Gemara criticized him for being single, etc., because he was already past the age of 20. So the Gemara says it was terrible that he was still single. Okay, we'll leave out the details for another time, another place. But but you see from the Gemara that apparently the minhag in the days of Chazal was that Bachram dressed a little bit different than people who were married. So the poskim say that v'stamah, that's what Chazal were referring to. Maybe that's what they were referring to. That a talis gadol is reserved for somebody who's married. Why is that? What's the rationale? That's considered to be like a high level of Kedusha. That you go up in Kedusha when you get married, so you put in a talis gadol, that's a higher degree of Kedusha. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes this minhag, and he says he doesn't understand this minhag. He says, "What kind of story is this?" He said, "But the pasuk chumash is obviously not, there's no relevance, l'maisa. There's a reason that the Chavarim give based on the Gemara condition. The kid's bar mitzvah ready. He's chayv in mitzvahs with their eyes. So why in the world should he lose out the healing of mitzvah tzitzis because of this game, this maises, this ramazim that you just made up?" So the Mishnah Berurah doesn't like this custom. So other poskim pointed out, they don't understand why the Mishnah Berurah doesn't like the custom. We're not telling the person not to wear tzitzis. He's wearing a talis katan. Everybody's wearing a talis katan. His talis katan is kosher. He's wearing a 28 by 28 talis katan l'chaladeis with chazanish holes and everything. We're telling him not to wear talis gadol. The talis gadol is an additional mitzvah. So in theory, you can wear three talisim. You can wear 100. 100 pairs of tzitzis. So at what point do you say, at kan v'lo yoser? So the minhag was that for a bacha, he wears only one, and then when you get married, that's a sign of high level of kedusha. You put on an additional talus, but it's not, we're telling the bacha not to fulfill the mitzvah of tzitzis. So yesh v'yesh, there are different practices, we know, within different communities about this. So usually the breakdown is basically become by the yekis, they follow this custom of dafka wearing a talus gadol even before bar mitzvah, right? They wear it whenever the kid is a gil chinuch, basically, so they start to wear a talus already during davening, and the svaridim also they also wear a talus. Masha'inke, most other Ashkenazim don't wear a talus. In my son's class, or my Adam's class, it's a little bit funny because it's in Broya, so half the class is Yekis, and he happens to have two Svaridim in the class also. So the regular Ashkenazim are in the minority. So the only so they think that my son doesn't understand why he doesn't wear a talus. Everybody else in the class wears a talus when they daven. I told him, we're still the majority. We happen to be the minority in your school, but we're still the majority. So that's the minhag. The minhag is that we don't wear a talus. Yeah, he still can lose the windows. Yeah, Malam b'kedusha. Yeah, he doesn't go down. There is a difference that even within some places that wear a talus as bacharim, even within those communities, there are different minhagim. But there is a concept of atifa we spoke about a little bit in the past when we spoke about the basic mitzvah of tzitzis, that according to some Rishonim, one is only chayiv in tzitzis if one wears a beged derech atifa, if he actually has the talus covering over his head. So even though Meikra didn't, we don't pask in that way. Our meaning is like most of the Rishonim will say, as long as you're wearing it on your body, that's also considered to be chayiv in tzitzis min haTorah. Nevertheless, we have a minhag to do atifa at different times. So there's a minhag to do atifa at the time of the bracha. Then there's a minhag that many have to do atifa at other times during the davening, during Kriya Shema, Berachas Kriya Shema, some say Shema Nesrei, Kadush, but have a different permutations of when one does atifa. So many are of the opinion that atifa is reserved for people who are married. That before marriage, they don't do atifa. And even that, there are those who disagree. There, but it's fine. But the yekas, you can't tell because they wear hats. But the Svaridim, I think they do atifa. No? Even the Bachrim do atifa. But by us, we wouldn't usually do atifa. That's why even when a Bachrim davens for the Yamud, so most places the minhag is that he doesn't put the talus over his head, except in the Wayabes Medrash. So the Wayabes Medrash, the minhag is even the Bachrim, when they daven for the Yamud, they put the talus over his head. Before one performs the mitzvah tzitzis, so there are a few just basic things you have to be aware of as prerequisites to doing the mitzvah. So one is making sure that the tzitzis are actually kosher. So the Rishonim quote a whole discussion, when a person's about to put this beged on, so before he makes the bracha, so he should check his tzitzis. Why should he check his tzitzis? What is he afraid of? Maybe the tzitzis got ripped, as we already spoke about the arichos. If the tzitzis ripped two strings, ripped three strings, ripped the whole balagan, as to what could happen to the tzitzis. So just to make 100% sure that the tzitzis are kosher, one is supposed to check one's tzitzis. Where does this come from? Who's the one who instituted this idea? So if you look at the Gemara doesn't say a word about it. So the Rosh quotes it, but the Rosh doesn't say you really mechliv to. The Rosh says, a charid ledvar Hashem. A person is a charedi, a charid ledvar Hashem. He's very, very trembles by the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so he should always check his tzitzis before him. So you get the implication from the Rosh that this is not a real din, this is a midas chasidus. Why isn't it a real din? Why aren't you really mechuyev to be cheshish at your tzitzis apostle? So the answer is, we have to be cheshish, it's a chazocha. The halacha is that we follow chazocha. The Gemara in Maseches Chulin derives from psukim. It's a din min haTorah that we rely on chazocha. So to over here, we rely on chazocha. Did anybody check the tefillin today? Nobody checked the tefillin today because you checked them yesterday. Nobody checked them yesterday, checked them the day before. 5 years ago, yourself had checked your tefillin. They had a chazocha, they were kosher. If there's no reason to believe anything changed, they didn't fall into the river. You didn't leave them out in your car in 150 degrees for a week. So nothing happened to possibly change that chazocha. So then you can assume that the tefillin are kosher. So that's what the post can write them. Pashas, Mikra Din, the same would be true when it comes to tzitzis. That Mikra Din, you can rely on the chazocha also, unless something happened to change the chazocha. Let's say a guy knows he just walked past the fan and he got his string caught in the fan. So then you better check. He just got his string caught in the door or something. He was dancing on Simchas Torah. Somebody stepped on his strings with a towel. So then you should have a check. But if you have no reason to believe that anything happened, so Mechatesi, or a calm guy, you're daffing in the corner, nothing happened to your tzitzis. Mechatesi, anything changed since yesterday? So that's why it's only considered to be a Midas Chasidus that the Rush writes. So Rabbi Willer questioned whether this Midas Chasidus even applies Bizman Hazeh. So he thought that the midah chasidus l'chor only makes sense if sometimes the tzitzis rip. But the imam should never ever rip. For the last 20 years, they've had a talus gadol, they never rip. So mehecha teisa, that's even a midah chasidus masho. So he thought that maybe the quality of the strings was cheaper in the days of the Rasha, days of the Rishon. I don't know. He said, l'maisa mitzia says that when was the last time your tzitzis ever ripped if you didn't do anything? When was the last time they ripped without you realizing that they ripped? All of a sudden you realize one day your tzitzis ripped 10 years ago. They rip. You know when they rip. So he thought that maybe the whole Midas Chasidus doesn't even apply to Bisman Hazeh. So again, if you look at the Shulchan Aruch, it's quoted that it's a good thing, you're supposed to really do it. We recommend to do it, but Lamaisa, a lot of people don't do it. So I think they're relying, whether they know or they don't know, Rabbi Willis Pshach, I think they're relying on this idea that maybe the whole thing doesn't apply to Bisman Hazeh.
Aren't you also checking the knots to make sure that they're tight?
Yeah, but even if they undo a knot, you know, big deal. It's a kosher anyway. So you know, when you notice they undo a little bit, so you tie it up again. No big deal. But the fact that someone's getting a mamash rip, and even if it rips one string, it's still kosher. And even if it rips two strings, it could be it's kosher, it's kedai aniva. The odds of it ripping in a way that's possible that you don't know about is kimat not shaykh bizman hazeh. The poskim write that if a person wants to save some time, you know, he comes late to davening something, so let's say, for argument's sake, not that it would happen to anybody, but he wakes up on time, he's ready to come to shul, and it takes him 25 minutes to get the ice off of his windshield, like some people have. We should have had an ice minion today for all the people who were. So I walked in today. I walked in on time for Pasikin, exactly for Shmoneh Esrei. I walked in. So just want to be B'yisem Niki. Nobody should think that I came 20 minutes late. I came 20 minutes late. I was Pikuach Nefesh, couldn't drive the car. So one would have thought I would have walked, but the cheshbon is you don't realize it's going to take you 20 minutes. You think it's going to take you 2 minutes to clean it off. So the calculation is it doesn't pay to start to walk, but then after 15 minutes you realize you should have walked, I'm afraid, but then it's too late. Anyway, so that was this morning's saga. But so the poskim matter, if a person wants to save some time in the morning, so you could check them the day before. It means when I finish davening today, so if I check my tzitzis quickly, and then I put them into the bag, so then it's highly unlikely they're going to rip. They're sitting in the bag for 24 hours, so that will pater me from checking them tomorrow before davening. So those who want to follow the Midas Chasidus, so it's probably a good idea to do that. When you take your tzitzis off, you take the talus off, you should check it to make sure. The poskim have a machlokas whether this idea of checking with one's tzitzis is really to make sure that the mitzvah of tzitzis is fulfilled, or some posts can say it's a chashash al tzibracha. It means even though in terms of the mitzvah of tzitzis we're really not concerned, but the bracha is a shalav bracha levatala, so we're extra specially careful. It will chap enough kamin if a person isn't going to make a bracha, like we'll see in a moment. A lot of people don't make a bracha on the talus kotan. Most people who wear a talus gadol make a bracha only when they get to the talus gadol. So if I'm going to put on my talus kotan, I'm not going to make a bracha anyway, so I don't care whether it's possible, so to speak. So if you hold that the reason for checking is al tzimitzvah of tzitzis, so then I have to check my talus kotan also. If you hold the reason for checking was only al tzimitzvah of bracha, if I'm not going to make a bracha, so I'll check my talus gadol. I'll make the bracha then, and then who cares what my talus kotan status is? So those are already chiluk ideas within those who hold that you have to check. Within those who say the whole thing is lahoyot var miyolim bizman hazeh, then there would be nothing to be concerned with. The poskim say also that one should be careful of what you're looking at. It's this one should be careful that the strings are separated. They don't become all clumped up and all tied up in the bottom. They quote from Rashi Tevos that the Rashi Tevos of tzitzis are tzadik yafrit tzitzios of tamid. So just in case anyone was wondering, assuming that's not spelt with a second yin in the chumash it's chaser, right? I think so. So tzadik yafrit tzitzios of tamid. It's quoted from the Ariya Kaddish, those Rashi Tevos. So then here also, how often does that happen? So it depends. If you end up washing your tzitzis in a washing machine, then the tzitzis get all clumped up. It's not a good idea anyway. You should always wash tzitzis by hand. But if you don't do anything to the tzitzis, it's hard to believe they're going to get so clumped up that they're going to be a question whether they're still kosher. So every once in a while, if you see a tzitzis clumping up, just separate them a little bit. There is another prerequisite to the mitzvah tzitzis, and that is kavana. A person has to have kavana when he performs the mitzvah tzitzis. So at first glance, this is no different than any other mitzvah. So it's a machlekes in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah Daf Kof Ches, where the mitzvah is trichas kavana, where the mitzvah is ein trichas kavana. The Gemara has two examples. One is hatakeh l'shir. A person is hearing the shofar on Rosh Hashanah, and he's having in mind, because he likes the sound, so he's practicing his trumpet for the orchestra, so that's called hatakeh l'shir. Is he yotzei the mitzvah or not? And the other example the Gemara says is kafu lecho matzah. Somebody forces him to eat matzah. He doesn't like matzah, he doesn't want to eat matzah. Somebody shoves matzah down his throat to say there, is he yotzei the mitzvah? So the Gemara has a whole machlekes, a long machlekes on Kaf Ches and Rosh Hashanah, and then in Avri Pesachim, Kuf Yudal, and other places, and the beginning of Sechem Echa Brachas. There's a lot of sugyas about whether Mitzvah Shrichas Kavanah, Mitzvah Zain Shrichas Kavanah. So how do we paskin l'halacha? So shouldn't surprise us, machlekes and Rishonim. So there are three shittas in the Rishonim. So yes, no, and maybe. So some Rishonim say Mitzvah Shrichas Kavanah. We paskin with their eyes, Mitzvah Shrichas Kavanah, Belishim Sofik. And other Rishonim say, nah, Mitzvah Zain Shrichas Kavanah. We paskin, you yotze when you blow for the shear, and you yotze when you eat the matzah, bli kavan, etc. Then you have the Rambam. The Rambam paskin is a split. So the Rambam writes that when it comes to shofar, mitzvah shrichas kavana. When it comes to matzah, mitzvah ain't shrichas kavana. And we can't figure out why. What's the difference? So the Magen Mishnah writes that lulei de mistafina, if he wouldn't be afraid, so then he would have said there's a tol sofer in the Rambam. He writes that he thinks that the correct gears in the Rambam should be that either you're yotze with both or you're not yotze with both. Can't be. The split doesn't make any sense. So other Rishonim explain why the split does make sense. So the Rambam held that shofar is different and matzah is different. There are different shittas in Rishonim. What the difference is, but the Rambam at the end of the day splits between the two. So how do we paskin lahalacha? So the Shulchan Aruch Halachos Kriyishma quotes both opinions, and then the Shulchan Aruch writes that lahalacha we paskin mitzvah strichas kavanos. That's how we assume lahalacha, that the tekel the shir would not be. I'd say the person who is kafu achal matzah may be a little bit different, but most mitzvahs we assume that mitzvahs, yes, mitzvah strichas kavana. There's a further machlekes paskim. Did the Shulchan Aruch mean to be machriya b'toras vaday? The Shulchan Aruch mamish held mitzvah strichas kavana. That's it. End of discussion. Or the Shulchan Aruch wasn't sure, so he is blight by a suffix. So suffix deraisa l'chumra. That the issue of tzrichas kavana is a deraisa tikashayla. So misafik the Shulchan Aruch paskim l'chumra mitzvah strichas kavana. My nafkamina. So the paskim about nafkamina for mitzvah derabanan. What would the halacha be about a mitzvah derabanan? If a person lights their Hanukkah because he likes the light or something, or if he's not doing it Hashem mitzvah, or he reads the Megillah because he likes the tune, not because he wants to do the mitzvah. He does a mitzvah derabanan b'li kavana. Would he be yaitzei the mitzvah or not? So this is the machlekes haposkim. The Magen Avraham is Megillah and the Groz Machmer in the Shaila. So different opinions within the Das of the Shulchan Aruch. But Lamais, again, in the normal circumstances, we insist on kavana, either b'toras vali, b'toras safek. So tzitzis l'chora shouldn't be any different. What do we mean when we say mitzvah trichas kavana? So the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Chayyadam. That means as follows. The person is doing a mitzvah and he has some other reason why he's doing the mitzvah. Because he wants to hear the sound, or someone's shoving the matzah down his throat, or he likes the taste of the matzah, whatever it is. He's doing it for some other reason than the mitzvah itself. What if it's clear the person is doing it l'shem mitzvah, but he forgot the shas ma'isa, that split second that he's doing the mitzvah, he forgot to say hini mechum zon, he forgot to think l'shem mitzvah. At that, he's tired, he woke up in the morning, he's putting on his tefillin, he's half asleep. He's not putting it on for any other reason, he's not tying a bandage on his arm, he's obviously doing it l'shem mitzvah. Villain, but he didn't formally in his mind formalize an actual kavana. So the Mishnah Berurah says, nah, that's okay, that's good l'choladeis. It's not l'chatchila, that's not the way to do mitzvahs. You're supposed to be awakened and concentrating on what you're doing when you do mitzvahs. But to say the guy's not yoytze, the Mishnah Berurah says, that can't be, that's impossible. Of course you're yoytze the mitzvah, that's not the sugya mitzvah shichas kavana. Every case in the Gemara, the case that's saying brachas, the Gemara talks about the guy who's saying kriya shema, and it happens to be his man Kriya Shema, and he's learning Pashas Vaschanan at that time. So remember, we had this one summer, Me'akov decided he wants to learn his Pamitzah Pasha, Pashas Vaschanan. So we used to learn a little bit every night. So one night we got up to the Pasha of Shema, and it was already 9 o'clock at night, so he was ready in pajamas, so we were learning Pasha Shema. So I asked him a question, I want to see what he was thinking. I said, okay, Me'akov, do you have to daven Ma'ariv now? Because you have to say Kriya Shema, because you're saying Kriya Shema. You're reading the same words as Shema. So he goes, well, all excited about the Shalos. What's that? It's a Mishnah in Brachas. Haya Kerba Torah, V'giyazman Kriya Shema. So the Gemara says, if you hold Mitzvah Shichas Kavana, you wouldn't be Yaitzeh, because you were reading it for another reason. If you hold Mitzvah Sein Shichas Kavana, then you would be Yaitzeh. So, says the Chayyadam, the whole Sugya Mitzvah Shichas Kavana only makes sense when the whole sugya mitzvah shichas kavana only makes sense when you're talking about a person who's doing it for some other reason. But if you're doing it for the mitzvah reason, you just forgot to formally think in nimuchah to shem mitzvah, then for sure you would be yaitzei. So the Chayyadam says, let's say a guy makes a bracha. So a guy makes a bracha shekidishanu mitzvah yisav tzivanu olay shibasukah. And he's not thinking at that second shem mitzvah shibasukah. He's not yaitzei. He made a bracha l'shibasukah. He made a bracha l'shema kol shofar. Of course he's yaitzei the mitzvah. So that's what we assume. Mishnah Berurah, we pass like this Mishnah Berurah, this Chayyadam, that 99% of the time mitzvah shichas kavana doesn't really play a role. So when it comes to tzitzis also, l'chatchila, when you put on your tzitzis, you put on your tefillin, your talis gold or whatever it is, you should have in mind the shem mitzvah Hashem. But if a person didn't, he just made the bracha, shir kiddushan mitzvah, he says, I don't know, that's also good enough. That's ke'ilu. He had kavana also. When it comes to the mitzvah of tzitzis, the Bach has a chiddush. We spoke about this Bach in Hilchos Tefillin. The Bach has a chiddush that there are three mitzvahs out there which require a second level of kavanah, above and beyond the regular standard base level of kavanah. What does this mean? So the Bach points out that if you look in the Torah, there are three mitzvahs that the Torah, when he introduces the mitzvah, he gives you a whole shtickle Torah about the mitzvah, about what you have to have in mind, and a hashkofa, and a machshava, and a whole story, a whole musa haskel, what you have to have in mind when you do the mitzvah. What are the three mitzvahs? The mitzvah of tzitzis, the mitzvah of tefillin, and the mitzvah of sukkah. So the Bach says, Mayhai, the Torah is a sefer halacha. He's not a drush. He's not a rabbi speaking in a sermon Shabbos morning. He's giving you a din. He's the Shabbos afternoon shir. He's giving you halachas, how to perform the mitzvah Torah. So why is he telling you a story about when you put on tzitzis, don't forget to have in mind that tzitzis is supposed to remind you to do the mitzvahs, as chayitim is called mitzvah Hashem. Or when you put on tefillin, don't forget to think about Yetzias Mitzrayim, the mantia tas Hashem, b'ficha, achdus Hashem, the whole story. When you sit in the sukkah, don't forget to think about the Anani HaKovod and Yetzias Mitzrayim. Mayhai, why is he telling you? That's a drasha, that's a musar, how to do mitzvahs. Why is he telling you it's not a halacha? So the Bach says, you see from this Torah that it is a halacha. That there are three mitzvahs out there where not only do you have to have in mind to fulfill the mitzvah, but you have to have in mind the background of the mitzvah also. The reason, what the purpose of the mitzvah is. Manishtan of these three mitzvahs. These are the three lama'an mitzvahs. These are the three mitzvahs in the Torah where the Torah says, do the mitzvah. And the Torah says why to do the mitzvah, lema'an. So where tzitzis, why lema'an tizkru v'asisam, da 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 da. Or the Torah says, put on tefillin, why v'halachal yosu yorchal zikru v'nechal, why? Lema'an tia, Torah s'asham v'ficha. Or the Torah says, besukus teish v'shiv es yamim, why? Lema'an, yedid darasechem. So the three lema'ans, the Torah is saying, do the mitzvah so that you come to the following realization. So comes the Bach and says, these three lema'ans, these kavanas, these additional kavanas, this is not mitzvah tzichus kavanah. Mitzvah tzichus kavanah is to have in mind to do the mitzvah. Finish, l'shem mitzvah Hashem. That's it. You don't have to know why, what. I'm eating the matzah. I don't care why I'm eating the matzah. I know why I'm eating the matzah. That's l'shem mitzvah Hashem. These mitzvahs are an added dimension of kavanah that I have to have in mind, not just l'shem mitzvah, I have to have in mind l'shem, l'man tizkuril, l'man tiyya, l'man yeder, the whole package deal. That's above and beyond the regular standard base kavanah lotzeis. Is this ma'akev? These kavanas are mamash ma'akev? So the Mishnah Berurah quotes a pripogadim that not. And others say maybe. Maybe you never know. It's hard to say. But these are the three mitzvahs. So therefore, these three mitzvahs are a good idea that a person should just stop for a second before you do these mitzvahs and to have in mind why you're doing these mitzvahs. That's why there are some who say that the Selema and the Shem Yichuds and the Hinni Mechavins and those things. So we spoke about them in the past. There was Machlaikis, the Chassidim. Whether that's a good thing to say or not such a good thing to say. So the Chassidim followed them in Hagim and the Ari and others who had all these the Shem Yichuds and all these Kavanas and Hachonas for the mitzvah, and then the Yehuda held that this was all not correct. He said that it's better not to say any of these things. You just do the mitzvah like a normal person, and you don't have to add on all these embellishments to the mitzvah. So one could perhaps argue that maybe we should split between different kinds of mitzvahs. Maybe some mitzvahs are good to say, good to talk about beforehand, because if you talk about beforehand, that will encourage you, that will at least ensure that the person actually has in mind those added dimensions. So again, just my own horror, I'm not saying that those have to follow it. So there are some who, when they walk to the sukkah, so they say the long Hinni Mechavins before, and some people say the long Hinni Mechavins before the tefillin, or the tzitzis, whatever they say. Whatever it is, whether a person says it or doesn't say it, one should have this in mind. So at some point, when you put on your tzitzis and your tefillin, one should have in mind the following things. Again, Meikra did his polynama akev, but one should have in mind, in addition to the base, the bare minimum kavanah of kavanah l'tzeisi deh mitzvah. What if a person didn't have in mind what he's supposed to have in mind? Let's say Mr. Shiva's kavanah, he didn't have that, or he didn't have in mind these additional kavanas. If you assume any of this is ma'akev, so what does it mean it's ma'akev? It's ma'akev, you don't fulfill the mitzvah of tzitzis. Does that mean you're wearing a baguette of dalat kanfos without tzitzis? So that's a question. So some I wanted to argue that you're not being mevatel the mitzvah tzitzis. It's not that you're wearing a beged b'li tzitzis. It just means that you're not yaitz in a mitzvah. It's not an issa. You're blank. It's like eating potatoes out of the sukkah. It's not like eating bread out of the sukkah. For the guy who eats in the sukkah and doesn't have the right kavanah, it's not an issa. It's just that he didn't fulfill the mitzvah. And maybe one can argue, one can say no, that if you don't fulfill the mitzvah, so it turns out you wait chutz l'sukkah. If you don't fulfill the tzitzis, it turns out you're wearing a beged of dalat kanfos without the tzitzis. So one should get into the habit of thinking these things. Again, even the most probably not likuva, one should have in mind when one does the mitzvah of tzitzis, the mantisku, etc., tefillin, whatever the reasons on sukkah, whatever the reasons for that are. So now the person's all ready to roll. So he's got his tzitzis ready. He's got his kavanas right. It's a kosher. He separated his strings. He's all ready to go. So what's the next stage? So Chari has to recite a bracha like any other mitzvah. Call a mitzvah mevarach aleim over las yasan. So what bracha should he recite? So the Gemara says that the nuscha bracha is lehesatef patzitzis. So it was that nuscha of lehesatef patzitzis that threw us off when we spoke about what kind of a beggar is chayv in tzitzis. So we said that according to one opinion, a minority review in the Rishonim, you only chayv in tzitzis if it's derech hatifa, only if it's covered over your head. If you're just wearing over your around your shoulders, when you're wearing a talis katan, that would not be chayv in tzitzis altogether. That's not lesatef patzitzis. So most of the Rishonim said it's not true. Then Chazal misakin the nusach lesatef, but it doesn't mean that it has to be mamash hatifa, like hatifas harosh, where the whole works, hatifas ishma'elim, like the Arabs. As long as you're wearing a beg head, you're also yotzei. So there are more quotes, somewhat of a strange minhag. The quotes from some Rishonim who said as follows: that yes, we assume that one is chayv and sitters b'tar is vaday midaraisa, even if they're not doing atifa, even though they're not wearing the beged over the head. On the other hand, we're going to shy away from this bracha of lesatif patzitzis. It bothers us to say lesatif patzitzis if we're not really, really doing atifa. We're not really putting the beged on our heads. So therefore, there are more quotes of custom, I think, from the smak, if I'm not mistaken, from the Rishonim, that if you wear a talis gadol mamash over your head, you do as atifa, then you recite a bracha lesatif patzitzis. But if you're not doing atifa, then don't make that bracha. So what bracha should we make? We'll make a new bracha. Al mitzvah tzitzis. Sure. We made up a new Rishonim, made up a new nuscha bracha. Al mitzvah tzitzis. Now, we usually don't do that. We usually have brachas are instituted by the Anshei Knesset Gedola, which appear in the Gemara. So we usually are not in the habit of making up our own nuscha brachas. So here, some Rishonim came up with this idea. We make a new bracha. Al mitzvah tzitzis, because it bothers us to recite the bracha l'satef patzitzis if you're not really doing atif in the proper sense. So that's where Amina came from. That when a person wears a talis got and he makes al mitzvah tzitzis, a person wears a talis got, he makes lesatif patzitzis. Obviously, b'diavad you would be yotzei with lesatif patzitzis. Also, sometimes we have this. It's like a kind of Shavuos morning or something. A guy comes into shul. There's a whole shalom with the aspect of bracha and a talis katan. So, if you're married, you wear talis gadol and shoyin. You make lesatif. But if you're a bacher, so you have to hear the bracha from somebody else. So the bracha comes and he hears the bracha lesatif. So he screams, "No, my yotzei, it's a joke." Of course, he yotzei with lesatif. Lesatif is the real bracha. That's the bracha that appears in the Gemara. That's for sure good. It's a chiddush in the Ramon, the smach. It's a chiddush in the Rishonim that al mitzvah tzitzis is better if you're wearing a talis katan. There is a complicated sugya in the beginning of Maseches Pesachim. Whenever we formulate brachas hamitzvahs, whether we're supposed to recite the bracha with a lamed or with an al. So the Gemara has the original machlokes by al bir chametz. Do you say levar chametz? Do you say al bir chametz? Then the Gemara branches out to a half dozen other mitzvahs, and the Rishonim extend it to 25 other mitzvahs. When do we say l'shma kol shofar? When do we say alachi l'smatza? When do we say al mikur megillah? When do we say leishi b'sukkah? How can you figure out what's the klal exactly? So there are a lot of different opinions in the Rishonim. What exactly is the klal? So the easiest shita to remember is the shita sari. Tosfos quotes the Maseches Pesachim where the Ri throws his hands up and he says there is no klal. He says he looked and he tried and he tried and he says there are so many steers in the klal. He says there must be no klal. So why is it? I flipped the coin. He can't figure out what's going on. Why would Chazal kaveh some one way? Lo yada ritam b'brachas. He says he cannot figure out for the life of him what the rule is in terms of b'chas brachas. But most of the Rishonim think of different klalim, and they came up with different klalim. That's the problem. So the Rosh had his klalim, and the Ran had his klalim, the Ram had his klalim. Everyone has their klalim. The problem is that it only explains away the five or six brachas mentioned in the Gemara. Then you have to try to figure out all the others. So you take a have machlokes in the Rishonim about certain brachas, what the nusach is. Sometimes the Rambam says you say lomul, sometimes you say alamil. It gets complicated in terms of different mitzvahs. So here, if we're reciting al mitzvah tzitzis, it's a very, very strange nuscha bracha. If for whatever reason Chazal saw that the mitzvah of tzitzis requires a lamed, and assuming not like the Ri, assuming there's some kind of a rhyme and reason to this, so there's a reason why the mitzvah of tzitzis warrants a lis atif tzitzis. So l'chora, if the Rishonim wanted to change the bracha a little bit and they wanted to stay clear of the word lis atif, so they should have instituted something like lubosh tzitzis. I don't know, l'chassus tzitzis, something else. Why did they change al? Al is a different kind of a bracha. So where did the al come from? So some acharonim write, the Taz writes in Simen Ches and Hilchos Tzitzis, that he thinks the reason came based on the following. He says he thinks that most of the time people were wearing tzitzis that weren't kosher. Most of the talis katans weren't kosher. They weren't big enough. They weren't shaped properly. They weren't cut properly. They weren't talakanfis. They weren't the right size. They weren't really kosher anyway. So why were people wearing them? Because we didn't want people to walk, even you Jewish, you got to wear tzitzis. I had the kosher, the non-kosher. He said, it's not the end of the world if you wear apostle pair of tzitzis if the beged is not kosher. If the beged is kosher, it's chayv and tzitzis, and the string's apostle, that's bad. That's a bitl mitzvah deraisa. If the beged is not big enough to be chayv, it's a big deal. So you know worse than the guy that's not wearing the tzitzis altogether. So it wasn't so terrible. The poskim weren't so upset about the people who were wearing the apostle tzitzis because the begadim weren't chayv. But I'm going to make a bracha. I'm not going to make a bracha if the beged is not kosher. So comes a group of achronim in Archaim and say that maybe what the minig was is as follows, that in the hierarchy of bracha levatola, so it's a much more of a serious bracha levatola if you make it with a lamed than if you make it with an al. Why? So listen to the bracha. If you make a bracha, Hashem kiddushanu mitzvah sitzvana lizatei b'tzitzis, the Rebbe Hashem commanded us to do the mitzvah of tzitzis. He's not doing tzitzis. He's not being misatif. So how can you make a bracha? It's a bracha levatola. It's mam Hashem Hashem levatola. Al mitzvah tzitzis, speaking in general, thank you, Ribbono Shalom, for the mitzvah tzitzis. Doesn't mean I'm doing the mitzvah tzitzis. Thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for Pasha Shlach. Thank you for the general mitzvah tzitzis that all of Klai Yisrael has, even though I personally am not doing it. So therefore, it's not considered to be such as a bracha levatela. So therefore, when the Rishonim played with the bracha a little bit, and they instituted a new bracha for the Talas Kotlan, so they dafka opted for al mitzvah tzitzis rather than sati mitzvah tzitzis. It's quite a chiddush. So the Rabbi Kiveger in Masechah Sukkah alludes to this Taz, Rabbi Kiveger on the Tosfos in Sukkah. The Tosfos discusses whether you make a bracha on a minig or not. So Tosfos quotes Bachlokes Rabbi Natan and others, whether you make a bracha on Halal and Rosh Chodesh, it's only a minig. So in the middle of that discussion, Tosfos tries to bring rayas from Yontif Sheni. Yontif Sheni, the Gemara seems to say, Bizman Azeh is a koich of a minig, he's our Bivinig of a Seichem. Many Mishraim disagree with that Tosfos. They hold that Yontif Sheni is mamash at Takanas al Chamim, but not the time right now. But according to Tosfos, who seem to understand the Yontif Sheni Bizman Azeh, since we have a calendar, so it's only a chai b'taras minig. So Tosfos says, we recite brachas, everybody sit down to the Seder, and then make brachas. What bracha do we make? We make a bracha. Alachilas matzah, alachilas maror. So we're making brachas. Isn't that a raya that we make brachas on minhagim? So on that line in Tosfos, so Reb Kiveger is mitzayin, ayin taz, the beginning of our chayim, da 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 da. What's the connection? Because the brachas that Tosfos is quoting are brachas of al. So maybe one could argue that to make a bracha, likras halel, to make a bracha with a lamed, that's a problem. But to make a bracha with an al, no, al. What's an al between friends? So go find me a bracha on Yontif Sheni, that's a lamed. You can find, there are. So that's what some say. Well, it's not a problem. The women are benching lecht on the second night Yontif. So the answer is that there are some days in Tosis that say you never make a bracha on a lokas neir. Even on lokas neir Shabbos, you don't make a bracha. There's one day in Tosis. So you can't bring a raya from a lokas neiris. So what's the other raya? From Hallel. Because likros ahalel, we say it on Simchas Torah, on the second day Shavuos. We say likros ahalel. So there's an etziv says, no, that's a different halal, it's a this, it's a halal, it's simply a Torah, it's not on this, it gets a, they doich it. But in the middle of this whole discussion, this whole shak v'tayah, so they quote this pshat from the Taz, that maybe al is different than le. Again, it's very hard for us to understand. We usually assume that it's a bracha matala. If a guy gets up today and says, al achilas matzah, that's a bracha matala. He's not eating matzah now, he's saying al, it doesn't matter, that's also called the bracha matala. So it's hard to understand that exactly. But whatever it is, the minig has become, in the Ashkenazi communities, that the bracha is recited, is al mitzvah tzitzis upon a talis koton, and a lisati tzitzis upon a talis godol. What if a person is going to a... Oh, the sleeping bags. I still talk about the sleeping bags. Okay, so wait, before we continue the bracha stuff, so the last 2-3 minutes, so I asked somebody to bring in a sleeping bag because of the shaila of the dollar countess on the sleeping bag. I mean, remember, we spoke about this 2 weeks ago. We spoke about blankets. So one of the svaras lahokka, remember, one of the svaras lahokka on the blankets was that the blankets are not really wearing, they're just on top of you. Something which is only on top of you and not under you and not around you is not considered to be a beggar. That was the Mordechai's pshat. So the question was raised, what about the sleeping bags? Let's see. So exhibit A. The thing I was told is a brisket toyer, there are two kinds of sleeping bags. Am I right? You want to explain to us?
This one, sort of, the outside is sort of like a material that you could actually make a beged out of, but it's filled with something inside. I'm not sure what the halacha would be for that.
Wait, so the question is like this. So the guy who's mamish, wait, is this dalat kantos? How does this thing open up? The whole thing opens up?
Yeah.
The whole thing opens up. Oh my goodness, it's mamish. It's a blanket. Mamish a blanket. Okay, so it's four corners. And the guy's mamish wrapped around it totally. Head from
it's rounded a little bit.
Rounded all around.
Well, the inside is sort of corner, the outside.
So this outer material over here, what is this? This is plastic, right? What is this?
I'm not sure what this is, but...
Machine wash separate. What does it say?
Machine wash separate.
What is this? What is it made of? Spider-Man. What is this made of?
I don't know, but the inside actually feels like it could be like a baguette.
So the outside part feels like more of a plastic. It is not. This is, I don't know, I'm not sure. The inside is mamish, is baguette material.
But is
the inside cornered? You don't know. You rip the
inside.
Don't rip your.
The inside might actually I don't know. Be a little bit rounded, but
maybe rounded. I don't know. So you got to be mavai where the inside is rounded or not. It's not so pushed. Not so pushed at all. What if the sun was shown and you have to put the same color as the baguette? You have to use the strings. So you would have to have red and blue. Spider-Man. You can do whatever spider can. What's with this one? Is it the same story?
This one, it's plastic on both sides.
Means the inside is also plastic?
Yeah.
There's no material really inside. So this is plastic. No. So plastic, we said, is mamash like ore. So we said, the Gemara says that a sheet of ore, a sheet of leather is not chayitzitz. So a new chumra, that I think that one should probably use these things. I got to give your sister the sleeping bag. Two girls from Texas, and you take that one. I don't know.
No, but what happens if it's filled with something inside? Does that still count as a baguette?
So the question is this material that's sewn together? I don't know. It doesn't feel like it's material that
it feels like it's just
stuffing or something.
Yeah.
It feels like it's just stuffing. I don't think it's a baguette. It doesn't feel like a baguette inside.
The inside part
doesn't feel like a baguette.
This part is a baguette. But if it's sewn together with the plastic and has the filling inside,
is this outside plastic though?
Feels like that.
But this outside, this looks like it's material.
Right.
This is material. I don't know, this is not so pushed. I know, tell the truth, until 2 weeks ago I never thought of this. I'm not so convinced. Now again, if it's at night, if a person's sleeping at night, so then it's machlokes, it's around the rush. That's Pat L'Chodesh, right? That's Pat L'Chodesh. It's a Beged Laila, which is Ba Laila, right? So the problem is, if you take a nap in the daytime, you got to get up early. You got to get up. So that's the new chumra. If you sleep in a sleeping bag, you got to get up before, according to some halos even. Ramon de Gruff. I don't know. This is not so partial.
What about for a younger kid that goes to bed in the summer before nightfall?
So it's a new chumra. Tell your parents, I said that if you're sleeping in the sleeping bag, you got to stay up until Tzetzke Chavim. Okay, good. A big trouble. Okay, I don't know. Sarachi and Gadol. I didn't think of this. Hopefully, Mitzvah Shem next week, we'll have a couple of more ends of Tzitzis. And then Mitzvah Shem, so in 2 weeks, there won't be any Shear. And after that, hopefully, we're going to start Ribbis. So, Mamash, a brand new topic. So,
you say the brachas were, though, for the mitzvahs were adult? Say both brachas then?
Well, so we're going to see whether
we didn't get out.
Yeah, we have to finish that up.
Let's say at 5:30 a.m. How's that? I'm not going to put up a problem. 6:30.